The book of Proverbs, church, is a book of wisdom. And it's written to kind of help the readers live wisely. In the first couple of chapters of Proverbs, Solomon gives various teachings about the importance of wisdom. The book of Proverbs talks very practically and very directly about different issues in life that can either help us or hurt us. One of the areas that the proverb speaks directly about is the problem of anger. We oftentimes feel discouraged about our anger, about being angry, by getting angry. When it happens, we feel badly about it. And we even think sometimes, church, that there's nothing we can do about the problem of anger in our lives. We can look to our upbringing and say that we learned to be angry people, so that really there's nothing we can do to change that. We can look at our culture and say that because we have a certain cultural background, that we just cannot help but have anger. We can look at our anger and blame others for it. My daddy was a man who got angry. My mother was a woman who was angry all the time. So I just learned to be angry. If other people didn't do what they did, then I wouldn't be so angry. Church, we can have a lot of reasons why we see anger in our lives. And we might have a lot of excuses and justifications for our anger. But listen, the scriptures are clear that every person has control over their anger. God makes it clear that anger does not need to control me, that anger does not need to control you. If you listen carefully to our scripture reading that we read this morning, those two texts, they show that our anger is a decision. It's a choice. Let's reread those texts, starting with Ephesians 4:31. Listen to this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And then in Colossians 3:8, but now you must put them all away. Again, that's not an elective. That's not an option. And I was born like this. I was in an environment like this. I'm just like this. All of those things won't work. But now you must put them all away. What, Brother Red? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Pardon and listen. If anger was something that was out of our control, then God would be unjust to tell us to put anger, wrath, and clamor away from our lives. God does not tell us to put anger away. Unless you grew up, Brother Scott, in an angry household. That's not in the text. God does not say, Brother Red, you need to put anger away unless you have a certain cultural background. God does not provide, church, for us any justification. Listen, for not dealing with the anger that's within us. Church, what we're going to do in our lesson today is consider from the Proverbs how to correct anger, how to change anger, how to heal anger. What does God teach us about how to overcome anger? How can we get control over anger rather than anger controlling us? So let's look at what Solomon teaches about how to correct anger, how to heal anger. The first thing that we're going to tell you is that Solomon is going to teach that quick anger is foolish. One of the important points that Solomon teaches is that being quick to anger shows foolishness. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered person acts foolishly, and one who schemes is hated." And then in Proverbs 14:29, the Bible says, "One who is slow to anger has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered exalts foolishness." Church, I want us to carefully think about how Solomon teaches us this first point. Solomon does not say that a quick-tempered person might have or might make bad decisions from time to time. That's not what Solomon teaches. Rather, Solomon strongly tells us the reality. A person with a quick temper acts foolishly. A person who is quick-tempered puts foolishness on full display. I grew up, Brother Scott, in a time in the country where they would say you were just acting a fool. The Hebrew word for exalts has the sense of bringing it to the forefront for everybody to see. Church, we're going to say things and do things that are completely foolish when we're quick-tempered, and you can't take them back. Too late. God is trying to teach us a reality. Being a person who can quickly become angry is going to bring ruin to yourself. We are not maybe, we are not going to make smart or good decisions when we get angry quickly. One of the key points that we do not think about regarding our anger is how destructive it is. Church, we can absolutely destroy ourselves because we are quick-tempered, and you can do it in a matter of seconds. We can get ourselves in trouble at work. We can make poor decisions in our fury. We fail to lack perspective and clarity because we are just so angry. Quick anger is foolish, and it means that you will act foolishly. People will see that you don't have great understanding. People will see your foolishness on full display in your quick anger. However, we can correct anger. When we see what difficulties anger is causing to ourselves and others around us. Number two, anger causes problems. The Proverbs now explain that our anger causes all kinds of problems for ourselves and for other people. In Proverbs 29:22, the Bible says, "An angry person stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered person abounds in wrongdoing." And then, of course, when you turn to Proverbs 30, verses 32 and 33, the Bible says, "If you have been foolish, exalting yourself, or if you have been devising evil, Put your hand on your mouth. In other words, shut up. For pressing milk produces curds. Pressing the nose produces blood. And presses anger produces strife. Church, Solomon teaches that our anger only causes more problems. We may want to think that our anger solves problems. We think that we're taking care of problems and bringing solutions through our anger. But our God, not Brother Red, our God is telling Brother Red, no, you're not. Rather than causing resolution, Brother Red, you're causing strife and deeper problems. Heartland, listen. Anger does not bring peace. Anger brings strife. Anger produces hatred. Anger produces conflict. The imagery of Proverbs 30:33 is very helpful. The churning of milk produces butter. In ancient times, church, cream was put into an animal skin. And that bag was swung and shaken and rocked to cause the fat to separate. Well, in more modern times, the cream was put into a barrel or container, and the stick was put into it, and you would constantly move the stick up and down to churn the butter to cream. Do you see the imagery of constantly poking someone? Do you see the image of shaking and pushing? So, also with the second image, keep pressing and twisting the nose, and you'll produce blood. Now, the image is brought to its conclusion. Your anger, listen, is producing conflict and strife. The pressing and the pushing of anger is not causing resolution, but trouble. Anger does not accomplish what we want. Now, we might be able to generate an immediate outcome that we want, but you accomplish that outcome that you accomplish immediately is out of fear. Now your spouse is afraid of you. Now your children are afraid of you. Now your family is afraid of you. Your friends are afraid of you. Your coworkers are afraid of you. And that's not what you're trying to accomplish if you are a child of God. Your anger is causing resentment, strife, and hatred. Church, do you want your family really to hide from you because of your anger? Are all the doors closed because you're just churning your anger to others, constantly poking and provoking? Your anger, listen, does not build relationships. I want to say that again. Your anger does not build relationships. Your anger does not bring peace and healing. Conversely, your anger, my anger, provokes and brings destruction. But, Heartland, I want to bring your attention back to verse 32 because the connection is important. Verse 33 is connected to verse 32. Verse 32 and verse 33 don't appear to be connected, but the word for is there at the beginning of verse 33 to show that the thought is connected. Notice that verse 32 begins by describing the person as being foolish and exalting self. That is all that anger is. Y'all hear me? Anger is selfish thinking. The reason anger causes problems, church, is that it does not have care for the other person. All that anger thinks about, Brother Theron, is self. Anger is about how what you did affected me. Anger does not solve problems, but creates problems. We can correct anger. We can heal anger. We can change anger when we see what our anger is doing to other people. Number three, anger shows a lack of restraint. Our anger further shows that we lack self-control. Listen to what the Proverbs teach in Proverbs 29 and 11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man, listen, holds it back. And then in Proverbs 12:16, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. A foolhardy man does not hold back. Fools just let loose. They give full vent to what they're feeling and thinking. What is amazing is we can use this very language to justify our anger. And we'll say things like, I just needed to vent. Well, the Proverbs tell us that a fool does that. The wise person, listen, quietly holds it back. Let me say something about the wisdom of God against the wisdom of the world while I'm here. It's not a part of my lesson, but I'm going to say it anyhow. The wisdom of the world says that you have to give full vent to what you are feeling, or you're just going to explode one day and cause damage to yourself. Church, I want us to consider that is not at all what our God said. God didn't say you need to vent it out. God tells us to do quite the opposite. The wise person will quietly hold back what is in their spirit. You don't have to let it go and let it out. You don't have to do that. You and I don't have to give people a piece of our mind. My brother Ed, I couldn't. I had to give Sister Body a piece of my mind. You don't have to say everything you're thinking. You can hold it back. Further, we're told to just overlook whatever dishonorable thing that just happened to you. The prudent person is able to overlook the insult, but a fool immediately shows their annoyance. Now, church, I want us to think about how we can do the same thing without words, but with sounds and actions. We will make a sound to show our annoyance. Or we'll make a gesture to show our displeasure. We want to make sure that our displeasure is immediately registered. Might roll our eyes or rub our face or do something just to make sure that people know we're not happy. But listen, God is telling you and me to stop this. Just overlook what you're annoyed about. Just let slide what you're angry about. Just ignore what has displeased you. We can do this. Why, Brother Red? Because we have the power to just overlook it. Fools don't let things go. Fools are unwilling to ignore what has happened. The prudent person, the man and woman of God, can stay calm and overlook that perceived insult. Correcting anger, changing anger, managing anger means we will see that we don't need to respond to everything that happens against us. Number four, anger is contagious. The Proverbs teaches that anger is contagious. Listen to this important instruction in Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. Don't make friends with an angry person, and don't be a companion of a hot-tempered one, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Heartland, I want us to think about what was just taught in reference to ourselves. How many friends and companions would you have if everyone practiced this instruction? Would you have any friends left? Would you have any family left? Would anybody want to be near you? But now I want us to notice the reason why the instruction is given. The reason is that anger is contagious. You will learn to be an angry person. You will learn that anger is the way of life and cause all the destruction to yourself that we have learned about in this lesson. Church, I hope that none of us would want anybody to learn our angry habits. How sad that we teach our children to act this way because this is how we handle life. Your anger, my anger, is teaching others to be angry. Rather than showing Jesus, church was showing anger. In James 1:20, James teaches that our anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Number five, healing anger, correcting anger. Well, Brother Red, what are the steps we need to take to heal, to correct, to manage, so that we're not being angry people? First, and this is what I want you to get in your thinking and in mind. First, know that we can control our anger. Anger is not out of our ability to control. It is not. It's a choice. In Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27, Paul said, writing to that church at Ephesus, "Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil." Church, listen. Every part of that sentence says, excuse me, we have control. We can control our anger, but we choose not to. If we're going to take the first steps to stop being angry people, the first thing that we must do is admit that we can control ourselves and we have been wrong for being quick-tempered. That's the first thing. Second, venting our spirit, being hot-tempered, and being easily annoyed, listen, is not acceptable to our God. God expects us to learn wisdom, godly wisdom, and not vent our spirits, no matter what happens to us. We don't have the right to explode with anger, vent our spirit, yell and scream and slam and throw things or any other actions or words because of our temper. Why, Brother Red? Because we're just causing more strife and more problems. We are certainly not showing Jesus when we do these things. Finally, we're only destroying ourselves by letting anger rule over our lives. We are going, not maybe, not might, we are going to make foolish decisions. We're going to make sinful decisions. We're going to hurt people that we love. We're going to make our lives even harder when we let anger be in charge. Get anger under control. Choose to be slow to anger. Choose to think about others rather than ourselves first. Control your emotions. Control your anger. Show the righteousness of God in my life, Brother Red, and rather than act a fool. In Jonah's 4:4, God asked a very important question to his prophet Jonah, that we, listen, Heartland, that we should hear our God asking us, do you do well to be angry? Do you do well to be angry? The answer is no, and we all know it. Church, listen. I submit to you that when I make the decision, Brother Booker, that anger will make me say and do things that I can't take back, that hurts myself, that hurts others, it's not the way a Christian wants to go, Sister Jameson. You see, we need to take the time to think through what we're doing and not just respond because somebody said something or did something. Because when I just vent my spirit and let it go, I am not reflecting the Lord that I live for. Not in my life. I submit to you, church, that we can do better, and we ought to. But more importantly, can I tell you something? You don't know a person that has done enough for you, Annie O, that would cause you to lose your soul. It's not that important. It's not that important. She could listen. No matter what people say to you or to or about you, don't you listen to that foolishness and snap. Because you're not reflecting the God you serve. Quick anger is going to make you make mistakes. I know some of you sitting there this right now thinking, Brother Ray, why in the world did you pick this subject? Now, it's okay because I will typically pick subjects that challenge us. There's not a person on this phone that hadn't been mad. That's why I talk about things that impact us, that impact me. But I submit to you that as Christians, if we would quietly hold our spirit and let the spirit and the teachings of God align with my thinking and my action, God will get me through it. He'll get me through it. You ever said something, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You said something 20 years ago that you still wish you could take back. But you can't. Or you did something 20 years ago angry and you can't take it back. And people remember you for doing that, even though you're a Christian now. I submit to us, church, we can do better. I must put away those things that Paul tells us to put away. Anger, wrath, obscene language, all of those things. Hatred, those are the things that's the end result of quick anger. You say things and you do things that you wish you hadn't have done. But if we really want to correct anger, Look at those things and listen to those things again that I gave you this morning. And then ask God to help you. Another thing that I would tell you is rather than being angry, if there's something that you know is going to trigger you, set your heart on doing things proactively that would please God. Set your heart on being compassionate rather than angry. Set your heart on forgiveness rather than angry. Now, I will tell you this. There are some times that things happen. And you know, Sister Elise, if it's really going to trigger you, it might be best that you stay home. Because as sure as you get there and you don't have your mind made up, the devil will give you something to think about right now. Anger can't help us, church. Cannot. It doesn't solve the problem. It will never lead you closer to God. It's not acceptable to God. It's foolish. I hope this morning I've said some things that would help us and encourage our hearts to walk in righteousness to God rather than let our feelings and our thoughts get caught up in being selfish and make it all about Brother Red. It's easy to do it. I just want Brother Booker to let you know what I feel about what you did. But that's not the way that the Lord wants Brother Red to live. If you're here this morning and you know that you have struggled and are struggling, ask God to forgive us. We'll love you and he'll help you. But we're going on and we will never run away from subjects that are hard to talk about. I'm not going to sit here and try to act like I've never been angry as a preacher. Yes, I have. That's why I know what I'm talking about. I don't avoid subjects, Brother Hayden, that I've struggled with. I don't do it because I can talk intimately about it, D, because I know how to help you. I know preachers, I've never done that. It's kind of like the guy that's the preacher. He gets up and he's telling the church he's a new preacher. And he says, "My name is Robert Livingston the Fourth. My daddy was a preacher. My granddaddy was a preacher. My great granddaddy was a preacher. I've never had alcohol touch these lips. I've never had smoke in these lungs. I've never cheated on my wife in 32 years." And he goes through all of the nevers and he just keep going through the nevers. And then there was finally a guy who hadn't been a Christian very long. But when he started talking about all of those nevers, Sister Tina, the guy woke up. And he looked up at him and said, "You know what? You can't help me at all then. Because I did all of those things you said never to." What I'm trying to tell you is don't try to fool people. We all got some things that we'd rather not talk about. Yeah, we'll talk about things like this, but God doesn't want me living there. And he doesn't want you living there. If you're here this morning and you've never named the name of Jesus, I submit to you that God has a plan of salvation that he wants you to hear. And I want to talk to you about it. In Romans 10, verse 17, the Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, Brother Red, what are you hearing? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus came, he died, and he was raised. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You must believe the gospel. In Mark 16, 15, and 16, the Bible teaches that he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not will be condemned. Once you've heard the gospel, believe the gospel, the Bible teaches that you must repent of your past sins. In Luke 13, 3, the Bible says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Once you've heard the gospel, believed the gospel, and repented of your past sins, the Bible teaches in Romans 9, or 10, rather, 9 and 10, that you must confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And that confession is a public confession. What is the confession, brother? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Once you hear, believe, repent, confess, you must be baptized. In Acts 2:38, on the day of Pentecost, when they asked Peter, what should they do? They had just killed Jesus. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then God will add you to the church that's in the Bible. There's no such thing as any church will do. There's only one church in this Bible. One. And that's the one that God will ask you to when you obey the plan that God has given us to become Christians. In whatever way that you need to respond to God's invitation, we bid you to do so as we close out our preaching part of worship this